Hey there, friends. It's Nick. It's episode 256 of the Story Hacker podcast, and we are in day two of our three-day investigation of memory. You may remember that yesterday we talked about the perception, the perceptive memory, and the importance of including in our stories sensory objects, sensory sort of sensations, sensory sensations. Well done, Nick. That's that's brilliant. Do you remember we talked about the heat from a cardboard coffee cup? Or the jet ski as ways in which we can build hooks and cues into our stories, objects that our audience can, if you like, they can kind of render them in their own mind, and that means they're more likely when they come into contact with, you know, cardboard coffee cups or jet skis to remember what we to the, you know, that memory is more likely to resurface, and then also to generalize out to our kind of overall message. Yeah, and what we're trying to do is to inject into our work, our content, enough difference so that it creates its own unique memory trace in someone's head, right? And to give you a counter example of this, I was having a conversation with my wife earlier on today, and she said, wow, hasn't May just disappeared? Where's it all gone to, May? And this is a really good example, because right now, it's May 2020, we're all still in lockdown, and that means every day is really the same. And one of the things that means is that you maybe don't have lots and lots of individual traces, memory traces, for days in May, because there's been a lot of the same stuff going on. So for example, every work day at around 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, I do my 15-second commute to my office, I come in, I make a cup of tea, I sit down at my desk, and I get on with my kind of routine. But because it's a routine, I don't have lots and lots of individual detailed memory traces, because it's all too similar. It all munges in together, yeah? And if you think about, you know, you've been in that situation where you've thought, wow, hasn't this week gone quickly? And really what we're saying when we're saying that is, I don't have a lot of discrete, addressable memories for this time period. And that's what May's been like for us. Now, there are exceptions, of course. So if I think back to last Tuesday I had a really important call. So when I came in, I had with me some specific materials, some books that I wanted to reference before that call. I was thinking about particular things, you know, I was dressed slightly differently. So I have discrete memories of last Tuesday in a way that I don't have them about the rest of May particularly. So you see why this is so important. And as I say, yesterday we talked about the perceptive kind of brain. Today I want to talk about the cognitive brain, the thinking brain. And I'm going to start with an apology, which I think may be the first real apology on this podcast, you know, apart from the general apology, implicit apology about the quality of the thinking. But I'm going to apologize to facts, because being a story guy, I've been quite mean to facts, and I've said several times on this podcast, facts fall away and stories linger. Stories linger and facts fall away. And, you know, in general, I stand by that. Stories are a better way of getting people to remember what you've said and spread it. But what I don't want to do is give you the impression that facts aren't important in stories, because, well, there's three types of things that are important from a kind of cognitive, a thinking point of view when we want to make our stories and our content memorable. Yes, one is facts, the second is abstract concepts, and the third is actually kind of meaning. So these are all things that we don't see, we don't imagine them in the sense of a picture, a sensory kind of picture. But again, they are things that can lodge in our brain. And I think, you know, one thing about facts is sometimes they can be memorable, of course. Sometimes for something like numbers, they won't necessarily, the exact number won't necessarily stick in someone's mind. But the sense of whether it is a big number or a small number might, yeah? And likewise with abstract concepts, you know, we can't see a concept, but they might be more usefully generalized to our environment. You know, so for example, I talked about jet skis yesterday. What are the chances of you actually seeing a jet ski today? Well, they're probably pretty small. But if I talked, for example, about how, I don't know, how, you know, bad leadership can bring a company down, you know, over time, that might be something that is, as a concept, is more generalized to your business or your organization or your team or whatever. Does that make sense? And the same thing is true, really, of kind of meaning. And, you know, one of the things we're doing in stories, particularly in the kind of stories I write, is coming to some kind of conclusion, coming to some kind of wider theory or useful piece of information that the reader or the audience can bring into their own lives. And if you look at some of the leader legends that I've written, you'll find these kind of ideas, you know, cropping up about, you know, the difference between having stuff and being happy. You know, there is meaning buried in some of that kind of thing. And I think, you know, one of the things that we can do is we want to balance all these things, the sensory stuff, the facts, the abstract concepts, and the meanings, because they all give different ways of encoding our information, encoding our stories, you know. And yeah, one of the things you can do if you're trying to communicate an abstract concept is pair it with something that's concrete, and that gives the audience the chance to kind of double encode it, or, you know, dual encode the information. It's one of the reasons why, as a writer, I love proverbs so much, because, you know, very often with a proverb, you'll find that what they've done is they've taken an abstract concept and given it a concrete kind of visual that helps it become memorable. So I was just talking about, for example, you know, what happens if leaders go bad? But of course, the proverb for that is a fish rots from the head. A fish rots from the head. Now, that is such a lovely visual sensory thing. And it helps communicate our abstract concept, doesn't it? Does that make sense? So what we want to do, despite what I may have said on this podcast, is we do want to include some facts. We do want to include some abstract concepts if we can. And maybe, like I said yesterday, if you're doing your 90-second story, you're not going to have a lot of time. But your leader legend, we can definitely be more abstract. One of the things in one of the stories that's come out of one of the stories is this idea that, you know, if life doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And that's an abstract concept, but it's something that is applicable whether you're in the game that this particular client is in, or any other kind of game, actually. Do you know what I mean? It's something that even though I'm not his target audience, that thing is stuck in my head. If life doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Really interesting. Okay, so that's our second little dip into memory. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the affective mind, or really emotion. And we'll talk about why it's so important. And, you know, one of the things I've said time and time again on this podcast is that the main issue with businesses is they lack emotion. They lack, you know, very often I've said conflict, because conflict builds attention and drama, and, you know, without those things, you're stuffed, really. But emotion is so powerful as well. We'll talk about why tomorrow, because I've just come up on 9 minutes talking. Well done for sticking it out. But it'll be really interesting tomorrow. So look forward to seeing you then. And thanks again. I know this is a Sunday episode, which means you subscribed. Really appreciate that. And we'll carry on the conversation tomorrow. Thanks very much. And remember, your story means business.